Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I used to think it wasn't too terrible, too hot in July in Alaska when I first moved up here. Coming from a state where there's more humidity, it'd be 90 degrees. I'd be like, it's nice. It's dry heat. But I've gotten soft, and it's too hot now in Alaska. So we'll take it because we know what's coming, right? Don't say the words. You just know what I'm talking about. You know. All right, Psalm 119. Direct your attention to verse 65. Psalm 119 and verse 65. We're going to take this next section here. If you haven't been with us on Wednesday nights, we've been working through each of these sections in Psalm 119. And we start a new one here tonight. So direct your attention down to verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And when you read through this section here, I think when you pay close attention, it kind of reminds us again that not everything about the psalmist's life was roses, you know? It wasn't always easy. He talks about how the proud have forged a lie against him. He talks about how their heart is as fat as grease. He talks about affliction coming into his life. And it just reminds us of the fact that his situation wasn't always pleasant. In fact, there were real trials in his life that he considered to be affliction. Some of it had to do with people, others maybe just situations and circumstances in his life. But there must have been some elements that seemed to have been trying to make his life somewhat miserable. And so he talks about these people who even lie against him and their character and so on, and these afflictions that come into his life. And no doubt if this was a continuing thing for him, he was probably getting worn down. And you know, that happens sometimes in life. The constant gnawing of adverse circumstances, you've been there, I'm sure. And sometimes it's maybe seasons of it where it just seems like there's turmoil. It just seems like things aren't in order. It seems like there's not a lot of peace, or it's just one thing right after another. And life can be that way where there's this constant adversity or these circumstances that are heavy, and it can wear down even the most committed believer. Maybe you've not experienced that, but I kind of suspect that maybe you have at times in life, and I know I certainly have. Those are not always easy times to walk through. But even though those can be overbearing circumstances, we can look at them in another way too. Just like the constant flow of water over the rocks and over the stones has a way of smoothing them out and polishing them up, even so, unrelenting adversity in life can have a polishing and a refining effect on the soul of the Christian who is trusting in the Lord. And so I want to talk about that tonight, because that's the direction that the psalmist is going. Even in the midst of adversity, his perspective was different than maybe what mine is sometimes, and maybe others as well. So even though he faced affliction and adversity, you can tell that the psalmist was still at peace in his soul. And so we're going to look at some of those things here tonight. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Lord, I pray that you would help us in this Bible study tonight, and just a few brief thoughts for this evening. But Lord, I pray that they would be encouraging to your people. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want you to look at tonight is in verse 65, and I want you to notice the psalmist's testimony here. What is his testimony? He says, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word." And we just got done talking about maybe some of the trying circumstances that he was walking through. But even in trying circumstances, as he looked back over the course of his life, the conclusion that he came to was that God had been good to him. He said, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord." Even when things were going wrong, he says, "I still believe and I still look at it that you have been good to me in my life. You've dealt well with me." You know, I don't respond that way as often as I should. And maybe you're like me at times where even sometimes the smallest of things can get me off track, I'm afraid. But I think about the way that life actually is as well. And in reality, God has been really good to us. I mean, I think about examples in the Bible, people like Joseph, for example. What if we experienced some of the same things that Joseph experienced in his life? How did Joseph's life go from the time that he was a boy, a child? Well, when you read about the life of Joseph, you see very quickly that his brothers didn't disguise at all the fact that they hated him, and they made probably his life miserable at times, even to the point of being torturous to him. They hated him because they thought he was the favorite of dad. And there came a point in time when Joseph is just trying to live his life. He's just trying to be a kid. And his brothers, who hate him so much, sell him off into slavery. And Joseph goes off into slavery, probably, I don't remember exactly how old he might have been, but he was young, no doubt. And he goes off into slavery with the knowledge that if it wasn't for profit on the table for his brothers, they would have killed him. That's how his life was. Oh, finally, he gets away from his family. Things are going to get much better, right? Well, then he starts on this journey that no doubt he never imagined he would ever be on. No doubt he ever imagined his life would turn out the way it did. He lived his life with the understanding that his father thinks he's dead and there's nothing that he can do about it. He's in slavery. He's serving in Potiphar's house, just trying to honor the Lord and just trying to do a good job and do what's right, but he's lied about by Potiphar's wife. That lands him in prison. What hope does he have? He might have thought that there was no hope. He might have thought that he's going to be stuck in prison till he dies. He might have felt like, what's the point of trying to do right? What's the point of trying to honor God? It's pointless. Even though I tried to do right, I still was lied about. My reputation is ruined. All of these other things. Maybe it's in vain. It seems like everybody hates him. And there's nothing but trouble that follows him. What hope did he have? What a waste of a promising life. Surely not what he expected. But then you know the story of Joseph. At last the sun breaks through those clouds of gloom. And in an instant change of circumstances, he's taken out of prison and into the palace. And then he saw, after all of those years, from the time he was even a boy and he spent 12 years in prison, he saw that all of those years were not wasted years of just trouble and turmoil, but years in the school of God's school, maybe the school of hard knocks, but he knew that it wasn't all in vain, and that is how or why he could respond in the end. You remember when he said, "Those that meant it for evil, God meant it for good." The dreams that Joseph had while he was in prison, those things came true. The Word of God had been tested and tried, and it was true. Listen, I wonder if at times Joseph ever felt tempted to abandon his faith in God in the middle of all of his troubles and trials. I wonder if there were times when Joseph thought, there's nothing to this. There's nothing to this believing in God at all. It's only a mirage in the sands of time. It's only something that people grab onto to try to bring some comfort into a miserable life. I don't know the things that Joseph may have thought, but what I do know is that in the end, Joseph could clearly see that God had never left his side, even in the middle of the trouble, and that all the things he experienced was actually part of God's working to fulfill and accomplish his will, not only in Joseph's life, but in the life of many other people. And that is why Joseph could say God was the one who meant it for good, because he trusted in God. I think that's the same testimony that the psalmist is presenting to us in verse 65 when he says, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant." The literal meaning of that phrase is, "Good hast thou done with thy servant." And what he's saying is, even in the middle of the troubles, what he's looking at is that overall in his life, God has done well and dealt well and done good to him. And the idea here is that God has been good and God had done good in his life. And the review of his own life, what he sees is good and good alone. He's not dwelling on and focusing on all the negative, even in the afflictions and the trials. What does he see? That God has been good. And he says, "You've dealt well with thy servant according to thy word." That's an important statement that he makes there. According to thy word, meaning that God had a purpose. He understood that it was all in God's plan and God's purpose for his life. He's done well according to God's promises, according to the principles of thy word. Listen, that's the whole effect of the revealed truth of God in his life. It was for his good. It was designed for his good. It produced only good in his life. And the point I'm making and the application I'm making is the same is true for us. We walk through some hard things. We go through some trials in life. Yes, we do. But if our eyes are on the Lord and we're remembering and trusting that the Lord is always good, it will help us complain less about things. It'll help us to trust him more. Sometimes we don't know what the answer is, and things are overwhelming, and I don't like the feeling of being overwhelmed when I don't know what the answer is. That affects my thinking and then affects my responses, and sometimes there's complaining, sometimes there's other things. But if I look back over the fact of the course of my life, God's good. And he's been good. And even now, I can see and understand that God is still good. So may the Lord help us to complain less and trust him more. Amen? No matter what the situation says, it looks hopeless. The word of God is sure. God is utterly dependable. And he's promised, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." God has dealt well with you and me according to his word. That was the testimony of the psalmist, that God has been good to him. Secondly, I want you to see the desire that he has. In verse 66, he says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." What is the desire of the psalmist? We saw what his testimony was, that God is good. But what does he desire? Well, first of all, in verse 66, he says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." The desire of the psalmist here is that he wanted to be taught of God good judgment and knowledge. That was his desire. The word judgment here, it means to taste. So he says, teach me good judgment. And it means to taste. What do we think of when we think about taste? Well, taste is the power by which we determine the quality of things as sweet or bitter or sour, etc. You understand what taste is, right? Well, you apply that to the mind and you apply that to understanding. And we understand then what he's getting at is the ability to determine the moral quality of things, or to decide what is right or wrong, or to decide what is wise or foolish, what is good or evil, to have good perception of what's happening in life. And the idea here is that it means he desired to have in full exercise the faculty of perceiving what is right and distinguishing it from what is wrong. Teach me good judgment. Give me the ability to perceive what is good, what is not good, what is wise, what is foolish, etc. But then he says, and knowledge. My desire is that God would give me some perception about things, but also some knowledge. The word means cunning or awareness. So the psalmist is saying, I not only do I want God to give me perception, but give me awareness. Awareness of what? Awareness of truth. Awareness of the knowledge of the will of God. Knowledge of his duty toward God and so on. And he says this, I desire that you teach me this because or for I have believed thy commandments. He believed in the word of God. And what he wanted was that the law of God or the word of God would be connected with a correct view of things in life. Do you understand what this is saying? Basically, his worldview and his perception of things was tied to and connected to the Word of God, meaning that the lens that I look at life has got to be filtered through this. That's what he's saying. Not philosophy, not my own understanding, but the Word of God. The keeping of the commands of God is absolutely the best way to grow in true knowledge of things. It's the best way of cultivating our understanding of things. It's the best way of promoting a taste for or a perception of what is true. It's got to be connected through the Word of God. You know, let's make the application. Because it's really hard to believe anything out in the world today, it seems. You can't watch the news and just believe what's on the news, right? You can't just listen to what people say and just believe what it is that people say. I've said this before, it's almost like you have to be a born-again believer with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you to be able to see through the fog and the chaos and understand what is actually true in this world. There's a lot of noise. That's how we know and have an understanding or perception. You ever had that feeling like, you know, you see, here's what the news is saying, but there's just something about it, like in your soul, in your spirit, like, I have a perception about that. Like, that's not true. That's not what's going on. Or even in other people's lives, the things like they say, like, that doesn't jive. Why? Well, it could be that our ability to perceive what is true and what is right, basically what I'm saying is the lens we're looking through life at, being filtered through this book right here. Because God's word is true. And the psalmist says, teach me good judgment. Give me the ability to perceive. And give me some awareness about me. And he says, for I have believed thy commandments. Did you know that when you really believe someone, we willingly listen to what they have to say? When you really believe someone, I really want to know what you have to say. And the character of that individual adds strength to whatever it is they're imparting. Well, the psalmist says that about God. He says, I've believed God, I've believed His word, I've believed His commandments. So he prays, teach me good judgment. What is that desire and what is that prayer? What does it boil down to at the end of the day? That prayer of the psalmist is a prayer for the practical application to life's issues. That's what he's talking about. You know how religion or even sometimes Bible truth to some people, it's like out there in the abstract. We say we believe these things, but it has no practical application in my life. It's just this abstract stuff out there that basically makes up religion. What the psalmist is saying is like, no, I want God's commands to not be in the abstract. I want them applied in my daily life issues. Listen, we have life decisions that we make all the time. Where do we go for the answers to those questions and those decisions? You know, should I take this job? This job's going to pay me a lot more money. But it also is going to take me away from my family for 2 weeks at a time or from the church for 2 weeks at a time. I get paid a whole lot more money. See, I can provide better. I can do these things. But the downside of that is, well, it's going to take me out of the house of God and the church, and it's going to take me away from my family. Should I really do that? Are there Bible principles that we can look to give me some understanding about practical decisions in life? Absolutely. See, when the Word of God is our filter, and we have the same idea or the same prayer as the psalmist, teach me good judgment, I've believed thy word or thy commandments, it gives us some perception. It gives us some wisdom, some knowledge. Maybe there are problems in the home with kids. Maybe this move, should I move here and should we go do that? Well, is that gonna lead us in a path of righteousness? Is it going to put us in the center of God's will? Or is it going to take us out of the will of God, the known will of God? Where do you go for the answers to life's decisions? Well, we ought to go to the Word of God. That's how God speaks to us, is through His Word. Let me ask you this, real practical here. This is what I'm talking about. I'm taking it from the abstract and putting it into practical use in my life. Have you ever had a situation where you didn't know what the answer was, but you wanted to do the will of God, so you say? Has there ever been a time when you sat down with your Bible in an attitude of prayer and just waited for God to speak to you about your situation? I'm not just saying just sitting there waiting like this, but I'm talking about reading God's Word. Here's the Bible. God speaks to me through His Word. Lord, I want to know what Your will is. Give me direction. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. You say You speak through Your Word and through Your Spirit. So I sit down with my Bible and I start reading and I'm waiting for God to speak to me about my situation. Have you ever done that? That's what I'm talking about with practical. Some people say, oh, you can't do that. Yes, you can, my friend. Yes, you can. God will speak to you through His Word. He absolutely will. And if you don't believe that, friend, well, I'll pray for you. Because what are you doing here then? What are you doing here then? God wants to take His principles and His truth and His commands, and God wants to bring it down into the everyday practical part of my life. We need to stop living by my own understanding and start leaning on the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How does He do that? Through His Word. And we're going to find that God will meet us in His Word. Maybe it's a specific verse. Maybe it's a divine principle that the Spirit of God brings to our mind. Maybe it's simply the Holy Spirit giving quiet assurance that is swaying the balance of my judgment to lead me in the direction God wants me to go. The psalmist desired that God's word would translate from the abstract into practical decisions in his life. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. I think that's a great thought. Very practical. And I wonder how much we miss out on because God's word is still sort of that abstract thing. Look at verse 67. Notice the psalmist's experience. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." Here's the psalmist's experience. Notice in verse 67, he said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Here's the psalmist making a confession. He said, "I went astray." You know, that's true of all of us. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. To stray, in our human condition, to stray is as natural to a sinner as it is to a sheep to wander. He makes this confession, "I went astray." But then he notes that there was a conversion. He says, "But now I've kept thy word." Something's changed. As long as he was left to himself, he did as he pleased. But when affliction came, he says, he was brought to his senses. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word." It kind of reminds me of the prodigal just a little bit. When he was left to himself, he went astray. And when reality hit him, it opened up his eyes. When affliction came into his world, it opened up his eyes to what he was. He came to his senses. And there's a great application here. When we think about trials, when we think about unpleasant circumstances, we can feel like it's affliction. But do you know there's value in affliction? The psalmist says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept thy word." That's the value of affliction in unpleasant circumstance. It can bring us to finally coming to the end of ourselves. And sometimes God uses it for that purpose. Sometimes God uses it for the purpose of chastening or correction. And it's for our good and our benefit. And that's exactly how the psalmist saw it. He was thankful that God was good in that. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. And he says in verse 68, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." That's how he saw it. He was thankful because that affliction ended up yielding the peaceable fruit of righteousness in his life. That's why he could say in verse 68, "Thou art good and doest good." That's a reflection of the character of God, that he's good. And he only does good. God is holy, so all of his ways are holy. God is love, so love characterizes all that God does. God is good, so goodness characterizes all of his purposes in our life. God is kind, so kindness marks all of his dealings with us in our life, even the affliction. To blame God for this or that, or to be at odds with God for things in life that we don't like, that's to slander God. Like he doesn't know what he's doing. But the Bible says he's good. Even in what seems to be terrible trials, that's the lesson the psalmist learned. In the affliction, even those who had lied about him, those whose character was not right, the affliction in his life, he says, God is still good. and doest good. The last thing the psalmist says here is, teach me thy statutes. He just got done saying that God is good and only does good. Teach me thy statutes. The word statutes there, it means appointed bounds. In other words, what the psalmist is saying is, Lord, teach me to be like you. Teach me your ways. Teach me to be like you. You're good. You only do good. And so what we find here is that the lesson the psalmist learned was that God only does good to him. It's impossible for God to be cruel, unkind, vengeful. And so the psalmist says, Lord, teach me your appointed bounds. Teach me to be like you. And what higher ambition is there in the world than that? Lord, teach me to be like you. And his reaction to it all was in verse 71. He says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, the child of God finds goodness, even in affliction and chastening, if he doesn't rebel against it. Any affliction that drives us to our Bible or drives us to our knees is surely worthwhile. Amen? Because as the psalmist says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Hebrews 12:11 says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. That's what the psalmist said. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. It yielded that peaceable fruit of righteousness in his life. And so what we find here in all of this is that in the middle of the circumstances and the affliction, it was still good in the soul of the psalmist. Why? Because he trusted in the Lord. And he understood that even in all of those things, God's purposes were only good for him. It's a good lesson for us, because even the smallest things can get us out of whack and get us off track. May we learn the lesson like the psalmist and understand that God is always good, amen? Even in the trials, and it's good for us sometimes because we learn more of him. Amen, let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, and we thank you for the principle. The psalmist had a great testimony. As he looked back over the course of his life, he could see that you've dealt well with him. Even in the middle of trials or circumstances that are hard, and we see the example of Joseph, his entire life seemed like it was just one trouble after another. Unpleasant circumstance, to say the least. And yet he was able to say that God meant it for good. And what a wonderful testimony that is for the psalmist to be able to only see the good in his life and even to look at the circumstance of affliction as good. It is good for me that I was afflicted. He saw the spiritual side of it, that I might learn thy statutes. What a great perspective. The Bible tells us in James that we shouldn't be surprised and we shouldn't fret and fear, and even when we're surrounded by adverse circumstance. But we should look at it through spiritual eyes, knowing this, that the trying of our faith works patience. And we ought to let patience have her perfect work. And the child of God can even find goodness in affliction if we don't rebel against it. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn those kinds of lessons. To not complain as much, but to look through spiritual eyes and understand that your purposes are always good. And like the psalmist, to have the heart attitude, Lord, just teach me to be more like you. We love you. Thank you for your word and the principles. that we find in them. Help us to make them practical. Help us to apply them. That's what they're for. It's what the revealed truth of God is for. It's for the practical application of life. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to live that way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.